Welcome to the Young China Watchers podcast. Young China Watchers is a global community of young professionals interested in China. We usually host events in our 10 chapters around the world. Now, the virus has made that pretty much impossible, but we haven't stopped delivering thought-provoking content through webinars, digital panel discussions, and written interviews with China experts. Be sure to take a look at our website or subscribe to our newsletter for the most recent information on upcoming events. My name is Sam Colomby, and for this episode, I invited Samuel Wachert and Dr. Shengke Zhi on the show. They are the current Young China Watchers London mentorship team, combining Shengke's expertise in the energy industry with Samuel's academic training in Chinese studies and economics. They recently published an article on our website discussing China's carbon market and energy transition. On this podcast, they delve a little deeper into the subject and look at some of the many comments they've received. Starting with Samuel.
Hello, everyone. I'm a new member of the Young China Watchers group from the London chapter, and I recently graduated from Oxford with a degree in Chinese studies. I'm now studying economics at SOAS to gain a better understanding of China's economic fundamentals. I'm part of the mentorship program, and Dr. Shengke Zhi is my mentor, and here he is.
Hi, everyone. This is Shengke Zhi. I work for the company called Wood, which is London-listed engineering company. We have more than 60,000 employees across the globe and over $10 billion revenue. So I studied in Manchester almost 20 years ago. I then work in the UK. I love the topic about China and also love to see the rising of China and also the investment, energy transition, and a number of different topics associated with China. So therefore, I joined YCW, London chapter. This is my second time providing a mentorship. I feel quite exciting opportunity, and I think can share our research and also our understanding about China in recent years.
So Shengke and I decided to write an article for the YCW blog, and we decided to choose a topic that would combine Shengke's expertise in the energy industry and my interest in economics and Chinese studies. And so we came across the topic of China's emissions trading scheme due for national implementation by the end of this year. We were quite interested in this topic because it's mainly been addressed in sort of economic and climate-related journals, but we felt like it didn't really appear on the radar for many China watchers yet. And we think it's an important area to assess, though, because it could be a new avenue where China could play a leading role in international diplomacy with its carbon markets.
Absolutely. I think before the COVID-19, many people talk about our current crisis, which is the environment crisis, talk about how we can reduce carbon emission, how can we move from the black energy more towards the clean energy. And China is one of the big countries doing a lot in this area. And also very interestingly, as Sam mentioned in his blog, that before the 2010, China was very much on the resistance space, want to hold their power, try to understand what is governance, what is the principle talking about this carbon emission. And now, since 2016, China very much playing a leading role in this area, driving the change forward. And now we understand China will launch this carbon trade systems very soon, later this year. That's going to be a very big difference impacting to the whole global carbon emission framework. So it is quite interesting moment. And also we see China in the last few years make a number of contributions in terms of developing low carbon technologies and also low carbon generations, particularly like nuclear, renewables, etc. So there's quite a big change. Samuel, would you mind give some descriptions about the difference between the current China going to launch ETS and also the European Commission launched ETS a few years ago? What is the difference and how the Chinese one will impact to the global carbon emission market?
Of course. So for now, the Chinese emissions trading scheme hasn't been implemented on a nationwide level yet. For now, there are only a couple regional markets, mainly in the municipalities of China. whereas the EU one covers the entirety of the EU and most polluting firms and industries. Whereas for now, the Chinese one only covers the coal-reliant power industry. But that being said, the Chinese one is supposed to include many more sectors such as petrochemicals, chemicals, building materials, steel, non-ferrous metals, paper, and domestic aviation. And when all of these different sectors are included, the Chinese is expected to be far larger than the EU's emissions trading scheme in terms of the amount of emissions that are included in the framework. Already at present, the Chinese ETS is already twice the size of the EU ETS. So China's carbon market will definitely be a force to be reckoned with when it finally gets introduced on a nationwide level. What I find interesting is that there has been a level of cooperation between China and the EU on this matter. There's been the so-called EU-China ETS policy dialogue, whereby European officials have talked about their experiences setting up the carbon market. So there's been this useful political dialogue. But for now, the prospect of linking up the two markets, which is an aim for many policymakers, seems quite distant right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all seen China make huge efforts in the last few years in terms of developing low carbon technology and also low carbon energy. China now has become the largest renewable market in the world. And also China is the largest electrical vehicle market. They also have huge ambitions on nuclear power generations. And now in the UK in particular, we understand China is investing in the UK new nuclear programs. They are going to deploy their own technology in the UK, Hualong 1000 nuclear technology. And they are also now working with EDF Energy in the UK, developing the Hinkley Point C nuclear power stations. So there are a number of changes and also clearly indicate China want to play this leadership role in this climate change campaign. I think China as a country, when they are deploying this ETS, it is also going to hugely impact to their domestic market, maybe forcing some organizations or some, maybe particularly the supply chain companies can do something and can't do something. So do you have any estimations about the China domestic market, how they are going to respond to these new changes?
From what I understand, there's been a lot of preparatory work underway to make sure that firms are able to measure their emissions properly, because that is one of the key elements of an efficient emissions trading scheme, whether companies can properly measure and verify their emissions so that the correct allocation of emissions can occur. But Shankar, you mentioned just now Hinkley Point C as one area of cooperation currently between China and a European country. Just last year, the Chinese firm, the state-owned Chinese firm CGN that is involved in the project, was blacklisted by the American government for illegally collecting civilian technology for military use. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are debates as to whether that was a politically motivated blacklisting. But more generally, do you see sort of political hurdles on the horizon in terms of Chinese cooperation with Western countries, especially in areas of nuclear energy development?
This is quite interesting topic. China come to UK to join this new nuclear build program in the UK. It's purely from a commercial angle. They see this as a big market, and they also seen investing in the UK in the new nuclear build program is a springboard in order to allow the Chinese companies export their technology to other global markets. Obviously, working in the UK can bring huge challenge to Chinese companies because of the difference in market operation and also the competitions in the market, hugely different from their experience in China. Nuclear sector is a very complex business. They have so many different requirements and regulations. UK National Office for Nuclear Regulation is one of respected and also very restricted organization across whole global nuclear sector. It provide one of the best regulation framework to the member of states. They are now developing a very robust safety assessment program in order to assess Chinese technology the process is called generic design assessment. That is going to very firmly assess Chinese technologies. From the energy sector point of view, we are very confident if the technology can pass the regulatory assessment, it should be robust to be deployed. I think secondly, comparing with the business environment, China and the UK are also very different. For example, in the UK, it is very much like a liberal market economy. Therefore, the management is more like arms and length approach to managing their supply chain and also deploying their project. But China, particularly nuclear sector or energy sector maybe, it is more like a coordinated market. So people try to work together in terms of their supply chain. Nuclear company, particularly, they are now shaping a vertical combined value chain. So one or two large companies tend to dominate the whole supply chain. That's completely different. Therefore, many Chinese supply chain need to understand how to play in the UK and eventually to successfully deliver this Hinkley Point C project. But I also see there is a huge opportunity to UK companies as well. In this process, Chinese company will need this or that kind of support from British companies. Therefore, likely the British company will form a stronger, at least transparent, and also transactional experience with Chinese companies. So therefore, I likely can work together with Chinese in the UK and then move to the third market, or maybe even back to China home market. We now also recently seen China change their domestic policy. They try to open up further to encouraging more overseas investment go into China market. Interestingly, in 2016 and 2017, the China outbound investment tend to be very significant, normally over $130 billion. But in 2019 and 2018, the China inbound investment increased. So now in 2019, there are more than $150 billion overseas investment coming to China. And now you can see China particularly open up their energy market. They welcome international companies come into China. You have BP, you have Shell, they all now have their investment in China. 2 weeks ago, ExxonMobil make their confirmation to invest over $17 billion US dollars in China market on their largest petrochemical plant. So I think all those things combined together, you would say China is shifting and they are encouraging international companies come to China, join together with themselves to move away from the conventional energy generation and also tradition carbon market. But now they are going to have a huge energy transition and they want to reduce their carbon emission and also want to transfer their existing energy market to something fairly new. I'm not sure they have a fully designed market. However, I would say the direction of travel is very, very positive and also indicate China is keen to have international collaboration, is very keen to work with Western countries, particularly European countries in this area.
I think it'd be great to address some of the questions and comments we received on the article. A lot of the comments had to do with China's climate diplomacy and how it's changed. And one way it's changed is that in recent years, it's heavily pushed the concept of ecological civilization. And I was just wondering how that filters down to business level, because when I've read about the ecological civilization framework, some critics point to the fact that it's just an empty slogan, just a form of greenwashing in China's diplomacy.
The reality, Chinese company come to UK, clearly energy sector is one of top three investment focus for Chinese investment in the UK. You have the largest offshore wind invested by the Chinese. You have this nuclear investment come from China. You also have waste energy investment as well. So there are many, many projects and also investment coming from China in this low carbon technology sector. I think interestingly, many Chinese come to the UK, they want to learn the concept, how to managing this low carbon economy, how to develop and see how they can benefit their own market. But also there is a risk. how UK as a government to managing those investment, and also the key element in this is the regulation. Regulation, we all understand, European Union and also UK tend to have higher regulation, higher standard than any other part of the world. So therefore, that can be a very robust approach for Chinese to follow.
That's an interesting point you made about a lot of Chinese companies going to the UK and wanting to learn more about low emissions techniques, because the EU-China ETS dialogue is exactly about that.
Do you think somehow the European ETS can work with China ETS together? Maybe the collaboration can, as you mentioned, talk about how in the operational level, what is the best practice, how the Chinese can learn from it. At least the European ETS has already been operating more than 2 years. This, I think, so learn the best practice is one example, but secondly, how they can collaborate together.
Yeah, so I think one important lesson that Chinese officials have learned from the EU ETS is that it's really important that the ETS permits, so the emissions permits, don't drop too far in price, because if they fall to a very low price, then there's no more incentive for companies to reduce their emissions. And we've seen that dynamic play out during the coronavirus pandemic. About a year ago, one emissions permit in the EU ETS traded for about 30 euros, I believe. And now last month, because of the drop in production, it's dropped to about 15 euros. And that level is seen as too low to incentivize firms to reduce their emissions. So I think the EU ETS offers a lot of practical lessons for Chinese officials to learn from when they implement their ETS.
I think this is certainly a very interesting topic. I think we are now have the unprecedented challenge. One hand is COVID-19, hugely impact to our global mobility and also our global economy. And also on the other hand, our oil price is collapsing. But I think many countries in the last few months gradually announced their economy recovery programs. It indicates many countries are going to invest in infrastructures, try to stimulate their national economy. Therefore, it brings a new threat to this carbon emission reduction programs. So we are going to closely look at the future development, particularly around China, on this carbon emission programs. Hopefully, China this time can utilize this opportunity not only to recover the economy, but also to shift the economy from heavily relying on the infrastructure investment to more like low carbon technology development and also low carbon energy economy in the long term.
Definitely, I agree. And I think a really important area for China watchers to look out for in the future will be the COP26 climate conference, which was supposed to take place in Glasgow in November of this year, but has now been postponed till 2021. And carbon market development was supposed to be high on the agenda. So it'll be very interesting to see whether this item will remain high on the agenda, especially after COVID-19 and the drop in production that has caused across the world. And then whether China will sort of push ahead with implementation of its nationwide carbon markets. So keep a close eye on the climate conference.
We definitely need to pay more attention. I think China originally will have a big programs in this COP26. So now the country has one more year to prepare this. I'm sure China and the UK will bring more fruitful conversation around this, can truly demonstrate the leading role in this global governance, in this global combating the crisis.
I agree completely. We're facing a short-term crisis in the form of the coronavirus pandemic, but we shouldn't forget that we're in the midst of another arguably larger and more severe crisis.
Thank you, everyone, for joining this conversation. And we think this is a very interesting topic, and we are going to carry on our research on this.
Yes, thank you, everyone, for your comments. I really enjoyed being part of the Young China Watchers Network.
And if you do have your views, comments, please leave it. We will try our best to answer your comments.
As you heard, Samuel and Shankar invite you to share your insight and questions on this subject. You can reach out to them on LinkedIn or leave a comment below their article on www.youngchinawatchers.com. www.youngchinawatchers.com. I'm really grateful to Samuel and Shankar for taking the time to talk about the carbon market on our podcast, and to Rosie Martin of the London Mentorship Team for making this collaboration a reality. Young China Watchers runs mentorship programs in London, Beijing, and New York. So if you're thinking of applying for the next class, you can reach out to info@youngchinawatchers.com for more information. My name is Sam Colomby. The music in this episode is by Blue Dot Sessions.